Okay, we're a little bit early for the recording, but it's better than the music. We're going to be starting in the last paragraph of Nekima Netira. If a person damages you, don't say, I'll take revenge. So people should fear to damage me. If your friend sinned, you're not allowed to sin back just for that reason. If it's a damage that's collectible, you shalom lach api amishpat. Take him to Mezen. And if you're afraid that you become a victim, if people see you don't take revenge, they say he's easy to victimize. Hope that Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlom won't let people victimize you because you keep the Torah. If you don't take revenge because you fear the Rebbeinu Shlom, hope to him and he will help you. Art Kana Shaina. Say state Rabbeinu Yaina. Can't even cause that the revenge be taken, meaning you can't put into place something that will be a revenge. If somebody marries a woman, it's not appropriate for him. He's over taking revenge. Now, how did he take revenge? He married a woman. He set himself up that the marriage is not going to go good. And what's going to happen is she's going to do something and he's going to take revenge. So why put yourself in a position where revenge will be a consequence of what you're doing? The story of Shmuel HaNogin. He was in the early, right at the beginning or even before the Rishonim. Shahalach l'tayilam ha-melech, he went to take a walk with the king. And the guy went and cursed Reb Shimon. V'tziva ha-melech l'Reb Shimon, she'yachtachas l'shaynay. So the king told Reb Shimon, you can cut his tongue off. V'u'alach v'shilach l'matanis. And Reb Shimon went and sent the guy a present, ha-chenepach l'yagoy, till the guy became his friend. Upon acheres halach ha-melech, the next time he came to the king, v'yotzach goyahu, and that guy came out, Ubirach Reb Shimon, and praised Reb Shimon. Because HaMelech, and the king got angry at Reb Shmuel. I told you to cut his tongue off. I did your command. I cut off his bad tongue. And I put in a good tongue. I replaced his tongue. Abbas Reb Nassim says, who is a gibar? He turns his enemy into a friend. Yes, doctor.
In terms of the grandma, Reb Shimon ben Gera.
What?
In terms of the grandma.
Shimon ben Gera wasn't a grandma. No, I mean, but he told Shlaiman to punish him? But he told Shlaiman to punish him? That's what you're worried about? What part?
Deliberately set up a situation that he knew Shimon ben Gera could not comply with long term.
That's what Shlaiman did, not David.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Shlomo. I'm talking about why was this not in history the way that the rabbis...
Because Shlomo HaMelech was not... He didn't do revenge. Revenge is the victim. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't the victim.
So I can order someone to take revenge for me.
No.
How's that not a problem?
You asked me, David told him to do that.
I'm aware. I read that part, too.
No, again, I want to know what your question is. Is that a Shlomo or is that David's order?
This would be a grama, a double grama by David. And a
drama
by Shlomo.
Again, Shlomo is not mechuyev, so he's not involved at all. Your only question is on David, right? And the answer is David was faced with a quandary. On one hand, he's not allowed to take nekama. On the other hand, he's a king, and the person violated the halacha of being married by Malchus. Cursing a king is a married by Malchus. So David was faced with a quandary. How does he take care of this? Without doing the Kama. So David decided that that the best thing that can happen is to set this up.
No, I was talking about this morning when we started going into a grower for event.
Again, I'll say it again. He was a Meirib B'Malchut.
I can repeat it.
He was a Chayav Nisa. Okay, so there's your answer. Okay. We are in that Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top. I want to introduce something this morning, which I will repeat a number of times as we learn the next block. Whether we learn it this week or next week, doesn't make a difference. There are three levels of a person's body in Hilchos Tumah. So far we mentioned two, we haven't mentioned the third. There is the revealed part of the body. Anything you see, the open part of the body, that is Mekabel Tumah by touch. If a Tumah touches it, or some type, depending on the Tumah, if the Tumah is carried by the person. If that, right, if the Tumah is carried by the person, he becomes Tumah. What?
Even if he doesn't touch.
Even if he doesn't touch. Then there is Beis Hastarim. Beis Hastarim are places that are normally not revealed, but can become revealed. And that is the inside of the mouth. People usually don't walk with their mouth open, we hope. I mean, some people open their mouth way too much, but basically, we walk with their mouth closed. But it can be opened. The inside of the mouth is called a Beis Hastarim. A Beis Hastarim status of becoming Tameh is that it's not Metameh by touch, but it is Metameh if it's carrying Tumah. So if somebody were to insert a piece of Nevela into somebody's mouth, the piece of Nevela would not be Metameh, the person by touch, because it's touching him on the inside of his mouth, did not touch him on the outside of his mouth. But it would be Metameh him because he's carrying the Nevela, and Nevela is Metameh B'masa. That's the halacha. So again, so far we've done two. I want to make it clear. There's the place that's revealed. There's the place that's not revealed, but could be revealed. Underarms. People usually walk with their arms on their side.
Private area?
Of a man? No. It's revealed.
The armpits.
I made it clear, that are normally not revealed, but can become revealed very easily. The inside of the mouth, underarms, any fold in a body, any built-in fold in a body is a Beis Hastarim.
Under normal posture.
Under normal posture. That's the middle stage, again. So we have revealed, and we have Beis Hastarim. And the halacha of Beis Hastarim is that it is Metameh B'masa, but not B'maga. These are all halakhah l'maisha mitzinais. This is not for our logic to try to make sense. You could try, but it's not going to make a difference what you try. It's halakhah l'maisha mitzinais. The third stage is called Beis Hastarim. We had it in the Gemara. Tumas Beis Hastarim. The third stage is called Tuma Blua. That's the inside of the body. There are places that the Gemara will have a machloikus on Beis HaMepes. Is this a Beis Hastarim or is this Belua? What status does it have? And those are the stages that are not easily revealed, but they're not totally not revealable either. That's going to be at certain parts of the body, which the Gemara will discuss, are going to be questionable. Is that a Beis Hastarim or Belua? Because by Belua, it's not Tameh at all. If a person swallows Tumah wrapped in something and it ends up in his Beis HaBliya, right, it's not B'Tameh. It's not Tameh, period. Not B'Maga, not B'Masa, nothing.
What's
basically? I mean, past the swallowing place. I meant he goes internal. Sorry, my mistake, I shouldn't use that word. Fine. So, those are three stages of Tumah. Three levels in a person as far as Kabbalah's Tumah. I'm just introducing the concept. We're going to run into this. So again, there's the revealed place that's susceptible to Tumah both by touch and by carrying. There is the Beis Hastarim, any place that under normal posture is not revealed, but can easily be revealed. inside of the mouth, underarms, any fold in the body. And then there are places that are absorbed totally in the body, internal. Beis Hastarim is metame b'masa, not b'maga. Blua is not metame, neither b'maga or b'masa. And there's going to be places in the body, in a human body, that's going to be a matter of machloikas, how to view it. Beis Hastarim or Blua. I'm just introducing that, so when we run into it, and I repeat it again, we'll know at least we heard the words before. Yes, Doctor?
Just a clarification, when you said swallowing, isn't there a cussive on...
Again, well, all that we'll talk about, we're not learning Shas now. So we'll let the Gemara do its thing, and we'll worry about Shas a little later.
Okay, no.
I'm very well aware.
I
am very well aware of what you're asking me.
No, I just want to make sure that I was not hallucinating.
No, you're not hallucinating.
Okay.
And the Gemara that won't let you hallucinate if you let it go do the good thing.
Okay.
Thank you, my to buy me name, Rav by Bisna Mabaya. Rav Shmuel by Bisna Estabaya. Paleta Shechmazera. Raya Hava and Nagas Hava. This woman who had a relationship, and now she is admitting her husband Shechmazera. Is she a Raya? Do we view it as if she had a discharge of her, is she Tamei because of touch, that her body is touching Shechva Zera? Or is she Tamei because her body is emitting Shechva Zera? Marshall, a woman that emits Dam, Nida, becomes Tamei because she's seeing, not because she's touching. A woman who emits Shechva Zera of her husband from her body, is that considered seeing? Or is that considered touching? What difference does it make? Three differences. What? Again, that's why we're learning this Gemara. We've got to let the Gemara do its thing. Again, the question becomes, do we view this woman as seeing? Like seeing Dam Midas? Like seeing Dam Zivas? Or do we view it as if touching a Sheretz? What do we view this Shechva Zera as it's leaving her body?
It doesn't matter. Wait, 3 days, after 3 days.
All during 3 days. After 3 days, it's not Shechva Zera. Now, Zogti and the three Gemara gives three Navkaminas. Number one, Navkamina Liskar. If she's counting Shiva Nikiyam, if she touches the Sheretz, that doesn't affect her Shiva Nikiyam. She's still lucky. She became Tamei from a Sheretz. That doesn't affect her 7 clean days. Now, if she's touched a Shechva Zera, she also doesn't affect her Nikiyam. She's still lucky. Let's say a woman would touch her husband Shechva Zera on the outside with her fingers. That wouldn't affect her Shiva Nikiyam. She's keeping Shiva clean days, and the fact that she touches Shechva Zera has no bearing on the Shiva Nikiyam. However, if it's considered Riyah, it's like a Balkari. And a Balkari in Shiva Nikiyam of a man ruins one day. So this woman would not be able to count the day she emitted the Shechva Zera. Because she saw a Riyah. Now, she didn't see a Riyah of Dam, so it won't do 7 days, but it'll be like a Balkari during Zivus that takes off one day. We had that earlier in the Masefta. So this woman would lose one day of a Shiva Nikiyam.
If she emitted Dam, it wouldn't be a week.
Then she would have to start again.
Back then?
Shiva Nikiyam.
The first 7 days?
No, she's a Zava.
Oh,
Shiva Nikiyam. She's not an Ida. She's a Zava. She has to keep 7 clean days. Right. So that's the first Nafkamina. If we view her as a Raya, it would ruin one day of her Shiva Nikiyam. If we view her as an Igeya, no different than touching Shechva Zera with her fingers. She's just touching. Touching does not ruin Nikiyam. Second Afkamina.
When this happened, this happened before the 11 days?
No. Okay. My mistake. I made an assumption here. A woman became a Zava during the 11 days. She became a Nida. She went to the Mikvah. During the next 11 days, she saw 3 days consecutively. She now is a Zava. She has to keep 7 clean days. If she doesn't get 7 clean days, she never becomes Mutter. She needs 7 clean days. And during those 7 clean days, she lived with her husband, Be'isser, makes it the easiest case. and now has his shikhlus era in her body. And she admits it. She's counting seven clean days. And she's admitting her husband shikhlus era. Can she count the day she admitted her husband shikhlus era towards her seven clean days? She didn't admit any dam. She didn't do anything. But on the other hand, if you view admission of the husband shikhlus era as a raya, she has had an admission. And an admission ruins one day, like a balkeri during the seven clean days of a zav.
Raya, admitting?
The act of admitting is what's happening. The shikhlus era is leaving her body.
Right.
The question is, how do you view that? Do you view it as if she's seeing something? The Torah made it as if she saw her own liquid admitting? Or do we say, no, it's touching her husband, shikhlus era? You seem,
what's seeing?
A woman sees dam. Is that seeing? Halakhically.
Yeah.
Okay. If he admits her husband shikhlus era, is she seeing something or is she touching something? There's a halakha called Ria. A woman sees dam, a man sees zivus. He's seeing something. The Torah calls it Ria. He's seeing something.
But dam is sure Ria.
100%. It's her own liquid that's leaving her body. This is not hers. This is her husband's. Mm-hmm. But it's in her body. The Torah says she becomes tamei. The question is she becoming tamei as if she saw something? Now, this will not ruin 7 days, but it'll ruin one day, like if her husband sees keri during Shiva Nikim. Or is it negeya? It's like touching a sheretz, like touching shikhlus era with her hands, and it won't ruin anything. Yes, now, Chef.
Very easy. It's epistemology. How do we know it?
Fine.
Do we know it by seeing?
Fine. Any way you want to explain it is fine with me. Again, I've told you many times that I'm
Remy?
Myself. Yes.
Didn't we learn yesterday that the bia itself is a matami woman?
Yes.
For one day?
That theoretically she can become tar from that. Right? And if she becomes tar, even if it's not, okay. Again. Okay.
Is that Mishum Riya also? That type of tumor?
No. Bia has nothing to do with Riya. It's the act of Bia.
I understand. I'm just saying the level of it.
The act of Bia. There's a tumor called Pilates. Our problem yesterday is how did she get rid of the tumor Bia without getting rid of the tumor Pilates? That was our problem yesterday. But today, we want to figure out how does Pilates work? What impact does it have on her? Is it a Ria or is it a touch? There are three nafkaminas. Number one is listar, whether it ruins one day of a Shiva Nikim. Number two is latami b'mashahu. A Ria doesn't need a shear. A woman sees the slightest amount of blood, she becomes an Ida. A man sees the slightest amount of keri, he becomes a Valkeri. A man sees the slightest amount of zivus, he becomes a zav. There's no amount necessary. Touch requires an amount. If a woman touches shikhlus era, or if a man touches shikhlus era, he has to touch a certain amount to become tamei. Nevela has its amount, mace has its amount, sheret has its amount, shikhlus era has its amount. So I want to know, this woman admitted a very small amount of shikhlus era. If you view it as a Ria, it gets all the halakhos of Ria, and Ria doesn't have a shear. If you view it as a touch, it needs a shear. That's the second nafkamina. And the third nafkamina is, l'tamei b'fnim k'b'chus. We have a rule that any Ria makes her tamei as soon as it enters her bayis hachitzain, which yesterday we described is either after this place called the teeth or after the place where a man can reach with his relationship. And any Ria, if a woman sees nidus, she becomes tummy even before it exits her body. Touching doesn't make a woman tummy there. So if this is touching, then the woman does not become tummy in the bayis hachitzai because she's touching internally and she doesn't become tummy. If it's Ria, she can become Tamei even before it exits her body. That's the question.
I can't see if you say it. Can't see it.
This was your question yesterday, and I told you a million times, these women either knew or didn't know. If they knew, they knew. If they didn't know, then it can't be responsible for what they don't know. But we have to know what happens in reality. Whether she knows about it is a different technical question. Did she come here that moment or not? That's the question. If she touches Truma that moment, is it tummy or not? That's the question of that. Now, how does she know? That's a technical question. So she knew. She had Argusha. She knew. Question is, did she tame? Didn't leave her body. It went into the Bayis Achitzai. Aria makes her tame, and the Gia doesn't. Yes, doctor.
The statement there is no shear to Rhea is not exactly correct. The shear to Rhea would be visible to an unaided eye. So visibility is a shear.
Fine. We'll move on.
No,
the Gemara calls that no shear.
Abba Pekin, if you took a magnifying glass, I can guarantee you there are a lot of things you could do with
again, doctor, let me say it one more time. The Gemara calls it no shear. You can call it whatever you want. The Gemara says it's not a shear.
The word visible implies visible.
Okay. What am I supposed to do that the Gemara says it's not a shear? I write on God, I'm a Dr. Schwab, that that's a shear also. What am I supposed to say? The Gemara says it's not a shear.
This is an argument I've had for my gut
many years. So you can keep arguing, but the Gemara says it's not called a shear. That's all I need. I have to learn Gemara. I don't have to learn now whether it, in reality it does or doesn't. The Gemara calls it no shear.
It's a logical impossibility. To be visible, it has to be visible.
Fine, okay.
And there's a definition of disability, which is
unaided eye. Fine, okay. It's really not worth this argument.
Okay.
I'm not going to make how go on to Gemara anyway. Zuck Drash Sheep. So these are the three Nafkaminas. Listar, does it ruin a day? Latami B'machahu, does it become tummy with any little bit? Or is it Matami when it's inside her body in the Bayis Hashitzer or not? Aria would have one halacha, and the Gia would have a different halacha. Rashi. Listar. I'm sorry, Rashi before. Raya Havi. Everybody have it? It's about the sixth narrow line. Raya Havi. Mishum Ria Tameyakra. The Torah made it Tamei because of Ria. Oy Mishum Nagas. They add the word Oy Mishum Nagas. Or for touching Mishik Wazera. That has to have an Gia's base astarim. Raya Havi Tameya. Before she admits it, it was in her private area, which is a Beis Hastarim. Again, I mentioned that, a place that's not visible easily. It was in her vaginal canal, not a place that's easily visible. It's like the inside of her mouth. Then she would become tummy the day of her Tashmish because she had a relationship. Megzeris Harkasef, and that's Megzeris Harkasef. But she polta, but when it leaves her body, Naga Libroi, it would be touching her outside of her body, Matame. As it leaves her body, it touches her exposed area, right? And that would make her Tame. So the question is she become Tame before it leaves her body or when it leaves her body? There's no question that when the Sheikh Mazera touches her on the outside, she's going to become Tame. Was she Tame before that? That's one of the three Nafkaminas. Listai, Beziva Bimei Svira. She's in the middle of recounting her 7 days. E Raya Hava Seferis. If she's a Raya, it takes it off a day. Not 7 days, a day. Avonei Gas Loi. Touching is not. Shimnaga Besum Tuma. If a woman would touch a Tuma during her 7 days of the Kiyam, ain't a Seferis. The Vesapra law, the Torah says she has to count 7 clean days. She had 7 clean days. Loyeta. The Torah didn't say she has to have 7 tar days. The Torah said she has to have 7 clean days. A woman went to a Levaya in the middle of her Shiva Nikiyam. Doesn't ruin her Shiva Nikiyam. It doesn't affect the Shiva Nikiyam. Any Tumah of touch doesn't affect the Shiva Nikiyam. Any Tumah of Riya does. Sometimes 7 days, sometimes 1 day, but it's nicer. Ulatami Bamasu, the Riya loy begin in Shura. By Riya, we don't need a shear. Kedamina Bamasnisan, the Dam Nida, Ulaziva, Ulakari, Matamin Bakosu, any little bit. Abu Negeya, Boy Shura. Now, what is the shear of Shikh Vazera? how much Shichva Zera has to be touched? We're not talking about an emission now. Let's say a man sees Shichva Zera on the bathroom floor or the bathroom seat, and he touches it. How much Shichva Zera there is makes him tamei? So the halacha is it's a machloikis. Ikel amandame bekadasha. It has to be the size of a lentil. The ikel amandame kechasimas via ama. And some say the amount that closes the male organ, whatever would be the opening of a male organ, that would be the shear of touch. And now that's going to be discussed later on, why one shear, why the other shear. Now we're learning out there that. But all we say is it needs a shear. As opposed to a Riya, the man admitted Shichva Zera, it doesn't have to have a shear, any little bit. Whereas if he touches Shichva Zera, it has to have a shear. Every tumah of touch needs a shear. Every tumah of Riya does not need a shear. That's the rule. Chasima is the sealing of Pia Amma, the opening of his male organ. The amount it takes to close the top of a male organ. Frank took the Gemara. We
the smaller sphere than the sora?
Yes. Yes. Frank the Gemara. Now, the problem is as follows. Yesterday we had a brisa, where the brisa talked about that the Tanakhama said that a woman that's a Pilates becomes Tomei when it's in her bayis achitzin, in a vaginal canal. And Reb Shimon said, no, her husband doesn't become tamei till it leaves his body, so why should she become tamei before it leaves her body? So we had a machloikas tanoim in this very fact. Rabbanan said, a woman that's a prolentis of zera, as soon as the zera comes to the bayis achitzin, she becomes tamei. That's what we had yesterday, Zav, in Gemara. And Reb Shimon answered, how can you treat her more strict than you treat her husband? Her husband doesn't become tamei till it leaves his body, either does she. Isn't this the question of whether it's a Riya or a touch? Isn't Reb Shimon saying it's a touch, and Rabbanan is saying, no, it's a Riya? Isn't that the explanation of that machloikas? So what's his shaila? Did he know the Braisa, or did he not know the Braisa? If he knew the Braisa, so he knew the answer. And if he didn't know the Braisa, so then what's the question as the Gemara is getting explained? Look to Gemara. Marashach. Ishmi Yilu Masnisa. Did he hear the Braisa? The Rabbanan Rayahava and Reb Shimon Nagazava. Rabbanan say it's considered an Riya. They said it's Matami on the inside. They learned it out from a Pasuk Yia. And Reb Shimon said, no, we can't be stricter than the husband. And the husband is not tummy till it leaves his body. How can the woman become tummy before it leaves her body? And if he didn't hear the brisa, mistaber negasaba. Why should I think it's a Riya? This is not her liquid. This is not her body. This is his stuff. Why would you even entertain that it should be a Riya? If you have a pusik, like Rabbanan brought yesterday, then you have a pusik. But that means you knew the brisa. So if you knew the brisa, you knew the answer. And if you didn't have the brisa, that means you don't have a pusik. Why would you think if a woman admits something that's not her bodily fluid, it should be considered a Riya? Seeing what? Usually seeing means her bodily fluid. This is not her body. This is his stuff. And for the Gemara, you're right. He knew the brisa. And according to the Rabbanon, he had no shaila. According to the Rabbanon, they clearly say that it's a Riya. They say that. Now, Reb Shimon told you it's not Matame, so what's your shaila? The answer is the other two. Reb Shimon says it can't be Matame on the inside, but she can't be worse than her husband. But how about taking off a day of Shiva Nikiyam? How about whether it needs a shear or not? That Reb Shimon didn't address. So the question is, maybe Reb Shimon is only arguing on one point. He's saying, it is a Riya, but it can be Matama on the inside. Or is he saying, it's not a Riya? That's our Shaila. The Shaila is according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon responded on one point. He said that it's not Matami while it's inside her body. Fine. So one of the three differences, Reb Shimon told you, it's not Matame. Does that mean he holds it's not a Riya, period, and it won't take off a day of Shiva Nikiyam, and it won't need a shear? Wouldn't need a shear? Or is he saying, no, for that, I say it's not Matame on the inside. But for other things, I agree, it's like a Riya. That's our Shaila. We want to understand Reb Shimon. That's the Shaila. Libid Rabbanu Leikimi Baile. Kikimi Baile Libid Reb Shimon. Whether it's matame inside is not a shiloh. Shimon said it's not. What would Reb Shimon say as far as removing one day of Shiva Nikiyim, or that it doesn't need a shear? What would Reb Shimon say? When did Reb Shimon say treat her like her husband? That it doesn't become tummy on the inside like the outside. If the husband doesn't become tummy on the inside, why should she? I will list start of the time of the chosu, but for the other two parts, whether it takes off a day of Shiva Nikiyim or whether it needs a shear, raya habi, she would be considered a raya. Aiduma loishna. That's the question. The Gemara wants the shyest of the sand of Shiva. We knew the Raita, and we knew that the Rabbanon learned out from a pasuk that she's considered a raya. And we knew the Rabbanon would hold, it cites her one day, it's Matami Bechosuhu, and it's Matami inside. But Reb Shimon said it's not Matami inside. Is he arguing and saying it's not a Raya? Or is he saying it's a Raya, but for this area you can't make her stricter than her husband? That's the question. Rashi. Ishmi Leila of Shmuel Masnisa, the Pligi Rabbanon of Reb Shimon Leel. That we had yesterday. The Kami Rabbanon Paleta Shech Vezer Matami Bifnim Kibachutz. That the Rabbanon say that a Paleta Shech Vezer is Matami inside like outside. Will Reb Shimon die a Kabbalah? And according to Reb Shimon, she enough to be like her husband. The Rabbanon Raya Havi, they said it. Linyan Matami Bifnim Kibachutz. They said that it's Matami inside. That means they say it's a Raya. Because if it wouldn't be Raya, it wouldn't be Matami inside. Will Reb Shimon Nagasav? And according to Reb Shimon, he says it's not Matami because it's a touch. Be loish milay, and if they didn't hear it, am I misapkalei? Why would you think that it's a ria? Misvara negas havi. Isn't it logical that this is considered a touch? Let me go for chazia. This is not her body that's seeing something. Elamasha kubli poletas, what she got from her husband, she's now admitting. And the answer is he knew the brisa. But liben du rabbanon like me boyle. The kibun du rabbanon matame b'fim kibachutz. Since according to the rabbanon, it's matame inside. Al meraya havi. The only way you can be matami on the inside is if you consider it a ria. The coach gave the matami b'mashu, and for sure we matami b'mashu, only in your steering, I'm yisastra, and it would take off one day. The b'tayra ziva mar b'lay miyia, we learn it out from the pasuk, yia ziva. Yia included paletas. That means the Tyra put it into the pasuk of zivas. The Tyra said, neither's matami on the outside, in the back achitzayin, in the vaginal canal, Ziva is matame the vaginal canal. Paletas is matame vaginal canal. That means the Torah considers it a ria. The question is, he come a boy lay the Rishimun. The latame b'fnem lay matame. And whether it's matame inside, there's not a shayla. The shemina lay Rishimun lay matame. He said it's not. He come a boy lay lister latame b'mashu. We want to know the other two things. Mao. When did Reb Shimon say, treat her like her husband? Only in the point of whether it's matami her in her vaginal canal or not. Just like he is not matami when it's inside his body, either is she. I will list her, but to take off a day of her clean days. Or to be matami, mashu le mashu le negas. Maybe that she's not like a touch, it's like a ria. The inami amidaya kabayalah. Right? Let's say her husband sees Kerry, right? It takes off a day. So even if you say she's like her husband, that doesn't affect whether it takes off a day or whether it's a matame b'mashu. Sastre can be cites her, or matame b'mashu kabayalah. Her husband also cites her one day when he sees Kerry. And he's also matame b'mashu when he sees Kerry. I do my life's not. Or maybe there's no difference. The Yehecha Dinyan Tumas Pnim Masculine Gas, just like for being Matami on the inside, you consider her a toucher, not a Ria, then your Mashu Spiranami Masculine Gas. Same thing would be whether it's Matami B'Mashu or it's Seitzer. Meaning we don't know Pshat and Reb Shimon. Is Reb Shimon saying totally not like a Ria? Or is he saying, I agree it's a Ria, but not to the point of being Matami inside? That was Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna Shaila. That's one shot from Shmuel Bar Bisna Shaila. He knew the brisa, and he was asking according to Reb Shimon.
I know Rebbe doesn't like to take sides, but which is more mistaken in Rebbe's mind? Without taking sides, of course.
Which one I understand better? I understand. But that's what I would have said. But again, I don't take sides. Remember, we say that. Ikka de Amri, there's those that say, La'ilam Leishmi Alei Masnisa. He didn't know the Braisa. And he was doing this logically. Now, our problem was, if he's doing it logically, why in the world would you think that this is considered a Riyah? It's not her liquid. Why would you think that when she admits her husband's Shikhmazera, it's like she saw something? She didn't see anything from her body. Now, there's a halacha that about Keri in Sinai, the Rebbeinu Shlom only cared about one tuma. He told people they have to become tar from one tuma. They can't be Bali Keri, and the women can't be Paletas. That's why they separated 3 days. So in case you had Chikmazera, after 3 days it rots, that's why there was a 3 day period. The Rebbeinu Shlom didn't care if they were tummy mates. He didn't care if they were tummy nevela. He didn't care if they were tummy sherets. He didn't care if they were zav. He didn't care whether they were zava. He didn't care whether she was anita. None of that mattered. There was one tumma the Rebbeinu Shlom said, I don't want by Matan Torah. Only one. I don't want a man to be a Balkari, and I don't want a woman to be a Pilatus. What a strictness for a woman. Pilatus. The Rebbeinu Shlom didn't care if any Riyah she had, neither Zivas, nothing. That did not interfere with Matan Torah. He didn't tell them to have Shiva Nikiyam. He said one thing. I don't want Balkari, I don't want Pilatus. So that's a very severe part of that tumma. It puts that tumma into a different light. So Dr. Gemara, that was Rav Shmuel by business Shaila. He didn't know the Braisa. And we said logically, it's an egas, it's not her liquid. But the Torah said that we care about it in Sinai. Does that mean Raya Havi? Is the Torah saying we view it like a Raya? Part of that chumrah is to say, wow, Paletus is, Balkari can be a Paletus. Right, wow, a Paletus, like really severe. The Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want any Paletus by Matan Torah. That means he considers it at least like a Raya. Like Duma, like Amina Mishinai, the Kiddush, that was a Kiddush. The Zabim Mitzaroah and the Chamiri, the Zabim Mitzaroah are much stricter for Balkari, but like Achmo Barachman and the Tari didn't care if they were there by Sinai. So why should I think that the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom told about Paletus makes it stricter? And Halacha Zav is much stricter, Mitzrayim is much stricter. So I knew Rebbeinu Shlom cared about that. Fine, he cared about that, but that doesn't change the status of its Tumma. That's the Shaila according to the second Lush. He did know the Braisa. He asked logically, is this a Negas which we would say logically? Or would we say, listen, the Rebbeinu Shlom in Sinai gave this high billing, and therefore top billing, and therefore maybe it's severe. It's like a Raya. Amalai, so this is Shmuel by business Shaila Mabaya. So Abaya answered him, Raya Havi. We consider it a Raya. According to both Lashinas, even Rav Shimon would consider it a Raya. Asa Shaila L'Rabba. They changed it, Rabba to Rabba. So Rav Shmuel by business was not satisfied with Abaya's answer. He asked about Rabba. Amalai Raya Havi. Rabba answered the same thing. Also the commander of Yosef. He went shopping. He wanted to know if everybody agrees. That's not a gay him. He just wanted to know halacha. Amalei Raya Havi. Also the commander of Abaya. He came back to Abaya. Amalei Kuchu Baruch Chada Tfisu. You all spit with the same spit. Means all I heard was everybody repeat the same thing. It sounds like a conspiracy here. Meaning you're all saying the exact same thing. It's like, I guess he felt like something's wrong here. It just doesn't work that everybody's saying the same thing. Abaya said, Shapar Amiloch. I told you the ripe shot. You should know. We might say the same thing, but it's true. Even Rav Shimon only meant that it's not Matami inside. Abaya said, we might be all saying the same thing, but you know why we're saying the same thing? Because that's the truth. And that's why we're saying the same thing. Rashi. Zok Rashi, lo'ilam lo'ishmi'alei. The second shot. Masnisi did not know the Braisa. With the Kamina Misvara, we said Misvara in a gas, Havi, that she is in a gas. It's not true. We can't prove it from Svara. Why? The Ikula Meimar, one can say, but the Achmer Rachmana by Bali Karyan. The Torah was Machmer by Balkari Besinai. The Siv Al Tikshu Alisha. Don't go close to a woman. Well, here's the Al Tami Sharet. Raya Hilhabit. That proves that it's a Raya. So he went around asking, and they all told him the same answer. Kulchim Baraika Chadatvisu. Kulchim Shematim Shmuachas. You all must have heard the same thing. Tfisu Lashon Reich, the Lashon of saliva. The Chaveri Mitzubis, Taif Shadi, spit it out. So we see Taif means spit, the Perik Avapi. Amale Abaya, Shapir Amala. You should know, we were all right. Abu Lister and Latambe Mashu Rayahavi. The Inami Daya Kabayala. Even if you say she isn't like her husband, her husband's Matami was Keri Bamashu, and he excites her. So she's exactly like her husband. Matami Bamashu, Kabayla Bamashu, Masasra Bamashu, Kabayla. And Enochonomi. So that's the Lamaitza. She's a Raya, and the Machoikas Rabbanon Reb Shimon is only in one facet. Is she Tame inside or not? Rabbanon says she's a regular Raya, and she's Tame Babai Sachitzite, again, vaginal canal. And Reb Shimon says, no, she's a Raya, but in that area she's different. Yes. What? The Kavachaim from Mishnah. The Gaia Kabbalah. Yes.
You see anyone comment the fact this idea of you're all spitting the same spittle? This is definitionally a halacha Moshe Sinai, is something where everyone repeats what they've been told without reason, without logic. So this, you know, is a primary principle. How we understand a lot of things. What's the objective?
What he was saying to Abaya, according to Rashi, you all heard it from the same source.
Right. Got it.
Therefore, it doesn't mean as much to me, because if anybody would have said a different part, or a different way, or a different thing, then I would have said it comes from multiple sources. But it's like you all learned by the same Rebbe and all heard it the same way. So therefore, it doesn't count to me as three opinions. It counts to me as one opinion.
Okay, 100%. But is this,
that's all he said.
Is this not definitionally halacha Moshe Mishnah? How you understand him, halacha Moshe Mishnah?
Again, none of them told them that it's halacha Moshe Mishnah.
No, I'm aware of that.
And it's not halacha Moshe Mishnah. And it's not halacha Moshe Mishnah.
I'm aware of that. I didn't mean to say it was halacha Moshe Mishnah. I'm saying this argument against it dismisses the whole concept of halacha Moshe Mishnah.
He wasn't. No. That's not what he said. If somebody would have told him to talk about Moshe Mishnah, he would have said, I accept, without question. But if they're all three saying the same thing, he's saying, it's not like I heard it from three people, I heard it from one. Maybe other, you know, I can hear an argument against it. It's not about Moshe Mishnah, you're doing it logically. If you're doing it logically, so then, you know, you're all three saying the same thing, it's like
I hear what you're saying. Okay, the ego, without a title, without a titular or appendage, there's...
Even though Abaya answered him that it's not a local Moshe Mishnah, but it makes sense. That's what Abaya said. So it means it was not a local Moshe Mishnah, and you were saying it logically. And he was saying it. You were not saying it logically. You were saying it because that's what you heard from your Rebbe, but it doesn't make sense to me. And Abaya said, yes, it does.
The statement it makes sense means that I am able to give a reason for it.
Well, he did. He gave a reason to say that it should be not a Raya. In his question, he gave a reason.
No, I meant the content of the law, not the right.
Okay. Rabbi.
Just curiosity. Rabbi. I translate you all spit with the same. Does he say spit with the same spit? I just wanted to know if he does the same thing. Yes, whoever's on the phone, yes.
Yeah, Rabbi, it's Harvey. Just a really basic kind of sixth grade question. This whole concept, trying to analogize between the man who has already emitted and the woman who hasn't seen that same emission, implies that there's nothing inherently tame about the substance. Instead of it being radioactive, or so to speak, once it leaves him because he has quote-unquote seen it, it is that tame no longer follows that same substance. That same substance, which is tame to him, is no longer tame to her. So it almost feels, well, not until she sees it, according to one, right? She hasn't seen it yet. It's inside her.
Let me explain. If theoretically, without getting involved in detail, somebody would insert a tumah into the inside of a woman, right? Not on the surface.
Yes. Or swallowing, as you described before, swallowing something wrapped.
What? Wrapped would be a good case. And but it would touch her on the inside. The wrapping would fall off, or whatever it would be, right? That would not make her tumah, even though the item is tumah. The Torah, in its rules of tumah, says that internally, touch does not make you tumah. No matter what it is, it could be a piece of a mace. If it gets into her body without touching her externally, and with all the things, it's not an IO, she's in an open field, you got to come up with all the technical reasons why she didn't become tummy till now. But if you can get it done, she doesn't become tummy by internal touch. That's the halakha of tumma. It's not that the item is not radioactive. I like the word. It is radioactive. But it's radioactive with the rules of tumma, which means the radioactivity doesn't work in her body.
I'm kind of saying the same thing. I'm just kind of observing that what's radioactive to him who emitted it, is not radioactive to her. It doesn't follow the substance itself. Or you're saying it does, she's just not exposed to it yet.
Exactly. Meaning if she would have touched this on the outside, she would become tummy, because that would make her tummy. The touch would make her tummy. But she didn't touch it. And this is not called the touch, for whatever reason.
Okay, thank you.
It leaves the semen, the cell leaves his body.
Correct.
But he's doing it internally into the woman.
Sometimes not, yeah. He's tummy anyway.
He's not tummy until it leaves his body, though, right?
Correct.
It leaves his body, let's say he doesn't see or...
Seeing doesn't mean he has to visibly see it. Seeing means it was an emission that's called, the Torah calls emission a ria. That's the name the Torah gives for emissions.
And the woman, she becomes tummy when...
Twice. She becomes tummy for having the relationship. And even if she gets rid of that, she can be tummy anytime she emits it during the 3 days of tummy. Yes, doctor.
Two things. Number one, the point in
the English.
A man does not emit semen, he ejaculates semen.
Right.
Number two, if we want to make parallels between males and females, the male stores semen inside his body, and where it is held in abandonment, and it does not make him tumma until it is ejaculated and becomes available for seeing. So there is a parallelism between both the male and the female.
Yes, and no, we'll talk about this later.
Okay. It would seem to me then.
Tana Rabbanan. Hanida Vahazava Vayaled Vashemarishaim Hanida Azava. Shemarishaim means if she's 1 day of Zivus in the 11 days, she has to keep 1 day. Vayaledes, and a woman that gives birth, Kulam Betama is Bifnem Kibachot. They all become Tameh as soon as it enters her Bayas Hachitzain. Again, yesterday we tried to define Bayas Hachitzain. We had two different opinions. One is where the Shinayim are, whatever that is, I don't know. And number two is where the male organ doesn't reach. I'm sorry, where the male organ reaches, that's Bayas Hachitzain. Beyond that, it's not called Bayas Hachitzain. That's what we said. Now, that becomes Tamei even if it has an exit in her body. Now, I understand Zava, I understand Shemarishai. They're all seeing dam, they're all seeing blood, and the blood just makes her tummy as soon as it enters, and I'm going to use the word in Hebrew from now on, Bayis Hachitzai, her outside room, her outside room. I'm sorry? Then
the
can't hear you.
Cruise door.
The question is, again, yesterday we said that the place where a girl sits down and we can see from the outside is called outside. It's not even called Bayis Hachitzain. I don't know where the prusdor starts. It definitely is part of the prusdor. But the question is, that part that you can see from the outside, is that also part of the prusdor? halachically, it has halacha of outside. If you can see it when a girl sits down, normal posture. That's why I didn't add a metric. Now, what bothers us is as follows. This Yoledes, right? She saw Adam. So it makes her Miyadeth. It makes her Tame. So we're assuming she saw Adam before she saw a baby, but had a baby, because once she had a baby, she's Tame anyway. Right? So what are we saying that Yoledes is Tame Babayas Achitzai? If Dam comes along, it's Dam Yidur or Dam Ziva, some kind of blood that came along, so that made her tummy anyway. What is Yoledes adding to this mix? What is Yoledes? Now, the Gemara is assuming that this woman saw blood and then gave birth. So she became tummy from the blood. So what is Yoledes? What does it mean? Yoledes becomes tummy in the Bayis Achitzit. She saw blood. So she became tummy anyway. So that's the Gemara's final answer. Now, this was a Yoledes that had no blood. But at this point, the Gemara assumes that she did have blood. And we're going to have a whole piece of Gemara assuming that she did have blood. You're right. The final answer to Gemara will be that it was a lady of Eshta. It was a lady that had no blood, and as soon as the baby enters by Zachitzayin, it's considered she's tummy Yoledes. That will be the final answer. But at this point, the Gemara assumes that the Yoledes is seeing blood. So what exactly did the baby add to the mix of tumah? Now, how long she's tameh? That has nothing to do with bayis achitzai. We want to know, what does that mean, the Yoledes is tameh bayis achitzai? She had blood. She became tameh bayis achitzai because of the blood. Nida, zava, whatever you want to call that blood.
Why is it any of the three? Why does it have to be
Nida, Zava,
or Shemeres?
So
maybe it's some
later. So Rashi will explain that. Zakrashi. Hazava v'shemeres jai. Ben Shirasa Gimel Yamim, Azava sees 3 days. Ben Shirasa. What? 1, 2, 3, 4th. 5th line of the wide lines. Hazava v'shemeres jai. Now Rashi's bound that Shemeres jai is during the days of Zivus. So what does that mean, Zava Shemeres jai? Hachikamah. Ben Shirasa Gimel Yamim, whether she's seeing 3 days. Ben Shirasa jai mechan, Metame b'beis hachitzain, Beria rishayna. The first time she sees, she becomes tameh as soon as it enters her outside bias by tachitzai. Ibn ein yida yalta verasa hatanilei. Ibn mei ziva hatanilei leziva. Meaning, what exactly is this Yoledes legabe tuma? We're assuming she was bleeding before she gave birth, and that the blood already made her tameh. If the blood already made her tameh, so what does that mean? The Yoledes becomes tameh at bayis achitzai. The blood exited before the baby exited, and therefore she was tameh already. Zok to Gemara. Emphit to Gemara. Leitzricha. She yard the litvo mitum of atara. Okay? It's going to be the following case. A woman trying to figure out exactly how to word it. A woman gave birth and she had 2 weeks of tumah, and now she's going to the mikvah, and as soon as she goes to that mikvah and comes out, all blood will be tar. Remember, the woman goes from days tumah to days of tara. Right? She goes to the mikvah, going to Beis Hill. The days are over. She went to the mikvah. The next blood is Dam Tara. And while she's going to the mikvah, before she finishes going to the mikvah, some blood, which would be blood of Tumah, leaves her uterus, enters her Bayis Achitzain, and stays there. And doesn't exit her body. And she goes to the mikvah, having that blood in the bayis achitzai. It doesn't have to be a gallon of blood. It could be an ounce of blood. She has that blood in the bayis achitzai. Exited before she went to the mikvah. She continues going to the mikvah. She comes out of the mikvah. in her body she has blood, that had it come out now would be tar. But it came out yesterday before she went to the mikvah. Is she tummy or not? Is that blood make her tummy? That blood was exited her uterus in days when she's tummy. It's in her body, and she went to the mikvah. Had this blood exited now, it would not make it tummy. So the bride is telling me she's tummy because she's carrying blood that's tummy. Not because she's seen blood. The blood she's going to see is not going to be as tar already. It's because she's carrying blood, and we will continue this.